say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never seen a blimp crash in real life. But we watch a certain podcast do it on a weekly basis. This is Hysteria 51.
Robot.
Man, he's already cutting you off, John. He's already coming in early on you.
Though I have to admit that he kind of called out the podcast I was talking about. Anyway, we are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. My name is John Goforth, and alongside to investigate this mysterious disappearance is none other than Mr. Brent Hand.
Thanks, John. We got a fun one tonight for a couple reasons. Number one, I get to say ghost blimp. You got to say it like that. You just can't go ghost blimp. You got to go ghost blimp. But now, before we let the robots take us too far off course, because that's the norm, let's get to our guests, because I am a fucking static right now. Tonight, we're welcoming Andy and Art from Mr. Bunky's Conspiracy Time podcast. Now, they are here in studio. The first time I've had anyone in studio since before we went to war in the Plague Lands. So this is a fucking amazing time.
Wait, Brent. When I asked if I could come over to record, you said you were still not allowing people in because of the
pandemic. I said I don't want people that I expect to be infected. I didn't say with what. I just assume you to be infected with things.
Tough but fair. It's Andy true. And Art, welcome back to the show, Mr. Hey. Conspiracy Time Podcast.
Now I gotta stop you right there. Art, welcome back to the show. Andy.
Oh,
Andy is a virgin.
I'm happy to be losing my virginity to all three of you at the same time.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
So tell everyone about Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast. It rolls off the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most succinct name in podcasting. The
name's so long, you just have to fumble through it once or twice and then ignore it. No, we're big fans of Hysteria Nation and Hysteria 51. We can cover the conspiracy, paranormal, all things bizarre, UFOs, weird strangeness topics.
Yeah.
Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I've heard this guy before. Art was on our, which one was it? Flatwoods Monster. He filled in for John. John was gone. And we had all sorts of barn owl shenanigans.
I think we talked about Uranus Fudge.
I think you were in Outer Mongolia or something. One of the places that has outer. Either that or you were up on charges at The Hague again. One of the two. John only goes to prison in places that start with the. So
and they all start to run together after a while, to be frank.
That's fair.
Well, guys, I am a virgin to both of you. I have not been on the show with either one of you. So welcome. Looking forward to the shenanigans that are about to ensue.
Oh, yeah.
But before we do that, we're talking about a ghost blimp tonight, okay?
A ghost blimp.
I gotta admit to you, I love sub sandwiches. And so the moment I read that, all I could think about was blimpy. It's the natural segue. That's what everybody was thinking. And believe it or not, they're actually still around. I didn't know I moved into this place called the Mansion House in St. Louis, Missouri in like 2003. And there was a little bodega type place a few doors down, and they had a blimpy in there. And I remember thinking in 2003, no shit, those places are still around. I looked it up today, and they are yet still around. There are still blimpies. But it brings to mind the question, what formerly popular food chain that's either gone now completely or massively smaller, like Blimpy, do you miss the most? And we'll go around the room.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't want him to take mine, so I'm going first.
Go right ahead, Brent.
I mean, it's Kenny Rogers Roasters, right? I mean, you can't not want Kenny Rogers. And I can't say that without thinking about Mad TV. I'm Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, with Will Sasso. Yeah. And welcome to Jackass. Like, I don't know why.
The moment you said it, that didn't come to mind at all. All that came to mind to me was the Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. That's what I remember, too.
Like giving him a tan or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's a multi-talented chain. It was too good for its own well-being, so they had to take it out before it did it. So what about you guys? Andy, where are you at?
Oh, man. I guess the first thing that springs to my mind, and this is what I'm going to talk about, is I never ate at this restaurant, but I love the lore behind it.
True.
And it's a place called Burger Chef.
Oh, yeah.
Have you eaten at a Burger Chef?
Not only that, I have on, here's a little self-promotion. I run a little bit of a side t-shirt thing that has old defunct restaurants and things. I have the Burger Chef logo I sell on there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, man, we got to get a couple of those.
Oh, my God, I got to get one of those from you.
If you want that and a Canon Films t-shirt, and a Showbiz pizza.
Head to toe in Brent Hand merch.
Now, the thing I love about Burger Chef is all of the characters.
Oh, my God, the characters.
There was Burger Chef, who was an adult man, who was a Burger Chef.
Who looks like the guy from Burger Time, almost. Like, he had, like, the white hat, right?
And yeah.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah,
he looks like Peter Griffin as a chef.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had a young boy that was his constant companion.
We call him
named
Ward
Jeff.
Avoid any suspicion.
And then there were vampires. There was a family of vampires, werewolves.
Burgerini, the burger magician.
Yeah.
So, guys, let me pause you real quick. As you're talking, I just Googled Burger Chef because I wanted to see these characters you're talking about. And the first suggestion that came up on Google was Burger Chef murders.
Yeah, there were a string of murders at Burger Chef's.
Listen, no fast food restaurant is complete without, you know, a couple of murders.
I mean, how many murders have been at McDonald's?
Yeah, over a billion
served.
Let's
be honest.
Over 1,000 murders.
I mean, at least.
Over a billion served, and 6 or 7 of them were fucking served.
Yeah.
I'm rocking my McDonald's suicide right now because I just had it the other day and I keep eating McDonald's. So, you know, it's the slow burn on me. A McDouble, please. Give me 2. It's fine.
Why not? The cheap cheese.
I felt my blood move. You guys got to keep them coming.
Remember there was, speaking of McDonald's characters, I mean, we all remember the Hamburglar and mm-hmm. Grimace, but remember the big talking hamburger?
Mayor McCheese. He got into politics and then he went corrupt and they had to cut him from the franchise.
Yeah.
There might have been more burger people. I can't really remember, but I do remember Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese was a famous one. Did anybody here have a birthday party at McDonald's?
No.
I attended one.
I wasn't allowed in the ball pit because my parents thought everyone's shitting there.
Yeah. Well, they were right. And you did miss out, Brent.
Now, my McDonald's, where I grew up, had a carousel inside.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
McDonald's-themed carousel.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. What? I was just looking it up. It turns out it was Mayor McCheese and Marion Barry in D.C. with the cocaine and
oh,
the hookers.
No.
So that's the way it went.
Marion McCheese.
Yeah.
Stay away from that cocaine.
Art, what's yours?
You know, I'm strapped for thinking of a eating establishment, but here I'll try and bend the rules here a little bit. There was food at this place. A defunct theme park that was based in Chicago, Kittyland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there was...
no murders ever happened there, I'm sure.
Well, there might have been one or two. There was me murdering the game where you have to throw a ball into the bucket.
Oh, yeah.
Ski ball.
Yeah.
I remember as a young, probably like 11 or 12, me versus this like little six-year-old girl, and I absolutely
not to be confused in Chicago with throwing the bucket and ball with a grand prize game.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, can I throw in a real quick honorable mention? Because I just thought of it. I got to say Chi-Chi's because it was a celebration of food.
Oh, Chi-Chi's fried ice cream.
Yeah, honorable mention. Fried ice cream, which is just really like a dome of fried on top of your ice cream.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I don't know what it is, but it's not Mexican food.
That's called Tex-Mex, my friend.
Yeah, Tex-Mex.
And it is its own food
group. Weird, though, that brands like you can still get Chi-Chi salsa and chips at the store. It's like they just sold the brand.
Someone bought... I saw Montgomery Ward's is sending stuff out again. It's not really Montgomery Ward's. It's four guys with a truck that are like selling out, you know, out of a van somewhere.
Same with Atari. Like, yeah, it's not the actual company. Somebody bought the rights and now they're trying to re... Anyway. Yeah. All right. So I will give you mine. It is a lesser known chain, but it is completely gone now. It was a buffet of sorts called Sweet Tomatoes. And
I've never heard of that.
Soup and salad primarily. They had like 10
We serve everything
soups.
You don't really want, soup and salad.
No, it was really,
Sweet
really
Tomatoes
good.
Is gone?
Yeah, I didn't know it was gone.
That was a great place.
I've never
Thank
even heard
you.
Of it.
Thank
John,
you,
this is a great pick. I didn't know it was gone. Oh, so sad.
Well, it's so important to you, I see.
Look, I haven't eaten there for multiple years.
it was actually really good. Like the
great place
they
to get
they had
lunch.
Some pastas and they had baked potatoes and like it was really good. Now, Brent, you did an honorable mention. I'll give you one too, and I wouldn't go the same route as it was really good, but there was a few different chains that were roughly all the same, and they were the shitty steak and a buffet with it combo meal chains.
Oh yeah,
Ponderosa, Ryan's, Maverick, Sizzler, Bonanza.
Like
all
it was
places.
The place where you get the salad bar. That's okay. It's salad bar has like real food and everything, and then for an extra buck they throw a steak on there.
No, I think you actually paid less in some cases to take the steak.
Do you want this?
No. Admittedly, the steak was gray even when it was cooked.
It's the only
rare,
place where they've said take the steak. It's turning. You know, they push the steak.
It tasted roughly like a not just a tire but a burning tire, but. You know, value's value.
Yeah.
Guys, I know of an existing Ponderosa.
Oh shit. Well, there
it's in central Indiana.
Yeah, there's probably a few. I know Maverick's gone, but I bet
it's
there's
the only
Sizzlers.
One I've ever seen.
I think there's still Orion's like in Springfield, but they're all the same concept though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Gone or still there, and I bet you there's a Ponderosa
gone,
in Jacksonville, Illinois. There was the last time I was there.
And
gone,
well, but not forgotten. And you know, I mean, I guess every buffet might be in Will buffets come back? I don't know. With the, you know, I mean, the pandemic is, you know, winding down in the U.S. here.
Well, if the corrals stay golden, they will. That's all I know.
I don't think people are going to be lining up for the local food trough, Golden Corral, anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, there's a beacon of hope, and it's called Las Vegas. I mean,
that's
this is the epicenter of American buffet innovation.
Yeah,
and we have
true.
To look to Las Vegas to push the buffet industry forward.
See what happens when you just mention Blimpy and blimps, you know?
Speaking of blimps, this was not, in fact, a good year for blimps. See what I did.
Oh,
now.
My God. Holy shit, John. That chip is... Well, I guess it's working.
So not only did he come up with a clever segue, it was appropriately timed, and it got us back on track.
Well, he's
like
not wrong. He is not wrong.
No, he's not.
So the year in question, this good year, as he said, the year of our Lord, 1942. I'll paint you a picture. World War Dose was still rampant, and the U.S. was feeling the effects. Here's a quote from military historian, hell of a lover, and author Carol V. Glines. There were known to be Japanese submarines operating off the coast. There had been an attack on an oil refinery down near Santa Monica, near Los Angeles. There was a great fear that there would be more attacks. So it's kind of a fucked up time in the world, and we were off to the side living our own life, and all of a sudden it comes knocking at the door, the war.
Yeah, and don't forget, this was also the lead up, the potential attack near Santa Monica to another story that we covered on this podcast, the Battle of Los Angeles.
The Battle of Los Angeles. Have you guys covered that one?
We haven't covered it yet, but that's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the only ones where you see, like, we touched up this photo and it got real popular. shit, you know, but yeah, it's still an excellent.
Just making the aliens more clear.
Yeah.
Come on. And speaking of aliens, there might be an extraterrestrial tie-in to the Ghost Blimp 2, but we'll get to that.
There always is. So after this attack, though, on the refinery, the government decides they need to get busy with defenses, as one is to do. Always after the fact, Pearl Harbor just happened. Japanese subs were known to be snooping around, and we need to keep our collective eyes peeled for them. Enter the blimps.
Bring on the blimps.
Yeah, like, I guess I never think about it, but do you guys realize they still use blimps to this day, and a lot of them are actually, like, secret spy blimps and shit like that.
Yeah, we covered, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Phoenix Lights incident.
Oh, of course. Yes.
That was another incident where there was some suspicion that maybe what people saw was some sort of high-tech dirigible.
Yeah, and it's crazy that you think, like, so much time goes by and we're still using inflatable shit in the sky.
Yeah, I don't want to offend the lighter than air society or anything, the blimp community at large, but you know, I have my
oh god damn this show, you know, like
those of us in the blimp community prefer dirigible.
Yeah. The dirigible community. Yeah. My mistake.
We're sorry, dirigible nation. We didn't mean to offend. Art's a rube.
Stand down, sniper. Stand down. Yeah.
Yeah. So fellas, they were sending out blimps to monitor enemy activity along the coastline.
That really makes sense at the time, though. They're slow moving. They can stand up in an area. It can monitor a lot of coastline. It doesn't take that many of them.
And they stay aloft forever.
In fact, I said not many of them. There was 12 of them made up the Airship Squadron 32, which sounds way cooler than when you go in there and it's just
that
a
sounds
bunch
like
of
some Star Wars stuff right there.
Yeah. You Rogue Squadron? No, Airship Squadron 32.
Yeah.
Damn. Our battle cry is...
As they just gently glide.
Yeah.
Listen to the mighty roar of our engines.
Well, they're not the fastest vehicles. That is for sure. But just after 6 a.m. on August 16th, 1942, the L-8 blimp, which was designated Flight 101, prepared for takeoff. Now,
yeah, the L-8 was a type of blimp, right, little blimp.
It was the L series of blimps, and this one was the 8th. If you're counting it at home, there would actually be going to there. They would go all the way up to L-22.
Fuck, I didn't even know they could count that high back in 42. Wow. So good for them.
Well, everything was still in black and white.
That is true. Before the switch. Color
was invented.
And the pilots were two folks, 27-year-old Lieutenant Ernest Cody and 32-year-old Ensign Charles Adams. But they were not newbies.
It's funny when you look into these guys, they always say, like, Cody was... He was not a noob, but he'd only flown giant blimps, and this one was small. I guess maybe there's a big difference. I would think, like, if you fly a giant plane, a little one would be easy, but maybe, like, a blimp is easier to be blown off course.
I know a little bit about airplanes. Like, getting inside of one of those little Cessnas feels like my buddy, who's a pilot, described it as being in a lawnmower in the air. Like, that's flying through there, because they're very thin and light, and they can glide, but I imagine a commercial airliner probably feels like, I don't know, driving like a... Maybe a Rolls Royce or something.
Yeah.
A boat.
Yeah.
So, Brent, I don't mean to correct you, but I will. Cody had already driven the L-8. It was new for Charles Adams because
I was testing you. Hey, good, well done. You get to stay on as my counterpart.
Oh, thank God. Whew. Cody had already garnered some attention during the war. In April of 42... He had, with that very craft, the L-8, he had delivered aircraft parts that were needed for repair on the USS Hornet. But they weren't needed for the Hornet. The parts were needed for the B-25 Mitchell bombers that would go on to bomb Tokyo. And if you're familiar with the famous Doolittle raid, that was the first time that we proved that we could actually reach Japan and bomb mainland Japan. We're not talking about like the air raids of Tokyo where hundreds of thousands of people were killed. We're talking like the Doolittle raid I think 50 people died or something like that, but it was proof that we could reach it.
Let's just kill a few people just for proof of concept.
Let's try a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pilot. It's a request.
Not to minimize the horrors of war, but this was the foreplay. To the eventual carpet bombing.
Guys, don't forget, it was a different time.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different time.
And with all great stories like this, there was also another dude who was supposed to be on board who didn't get to be. L-8 aviation machinist mate Riley Hill was supposed to accompany these guys for the flight. However, before departure, they actually told him that he couldn't go on the flight. Nah, it's not that cool. It's just there was a heavy moisture, and they thought that the weight of him and the weight on the blimp made it unsafe for him to bring. They didn't want anyone to go missing on this flight, so they didn't want him to be on it.
We're familiar with
foreshadowing.
We're familiar with heavy moisture.
I've been kicked off a lot of rides for having heavy moisture.
Yeah, that's right.
Being heavy and moist.
I'll tell you what's dripping here, not the moisture, but the irony.
Oh.
Okay, thank you, Alanis Goforth.
Yeah. don't you think? So yeah, so Cody and Adams, they take off the planned flight on routine maneuvers.
It had been inspected. They inspected these things every now and then. And just 4 days prior to this flight, it had been deemed to be in fine working order.
I could be wrong, but that sounds like foreshadowing.
You are right, my non-friend. You are exactly right. Their intended flight path would take them across the Golden Gate Bridge, just for shits and giggles, then head towards Farallon Islands, 20 miles off the coast, and they would head north towards Point Reyes and then south along the coastline. Basically, they're making a big figure eight.
Thanks, Euclid.
Wow, that was an informed reference. Yeah. You can't even be mad at that, Brent. Well done, C-Bot.
Euclid of Alexandria or Euclid of Megara. I celebrate both of their works.
No, he doesn't.
Jeez, these guys.
That's a deep cut, man. That is a deep cut. Anyway, Brent, to your point, the figure eight, that's pretty much what the blimp actually did.
And Kyle is saying this while sitting on Andy's lap the entire time. So this is fine. Everything's fine here, John. You're missing out on a lot.
I mean, this show is the most highbrow and simultaneously lowbrow thing I've ever been involved with. And I am feeling a wild mixture of feelings.
That's called The Rock with the eyebrow up, one eyebrow up. So yeah, this figure eight, first leg, no incident. Yeah, you know, you're in a fucking dirigible. You're just looking around. Now, an hour and a half after takeoff, Lieutenant Cody radioed squadron headquarters at Moffett Fields, stating that he was positioned 3 miles east of Farallon Islands. Then shit goes squirrely quickly. 4 minutes later, he calls again, saying that he was investigating a suspicious oil slick. Now, when they say shit like this, the first thing that they worry about is there's a sub. That's right. Immediately what they're doing. Right. And when I said it went squirrely quick, literally, that's the last time they're ever. I didn't know why I laughed there. That's the last time the crew was ever
they
heard from.
They were never seen again.
They were like dead.
Families cried for days. Pass me my smoking jacket. literally when they didn't call in with their hourly position report, the personnel at Moffett Field became concerned. They're supposed to fucking do this.
Yeah, they even sent out some float planes to look for the blimp.
Because float planes, if they can land and help them out, if they can.
Exactly right.
3 hours go by, nothing from them. They received a message from San Francisco Shore Patrol, and the blimp then was seen crashing into a golf course next to a beach, releasing its depth charges. And I don't know if you guys know this, but California, like many states, has a no depth charge rule for golf courses. So that was a big red flag that something was wrong.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So let me paint a picture for you. There were a few sightings.
We don't have time. Sorry.
We'll get into the witnesses after the break, but let me paint a picture. There were a few sightings. The blimp was limping along, and there was even one picture taken by somebody driving along the coast, and you can see the middle of the blimp is sunken in. It's obviously lost some air. And as it approached the coast, you know, people started to take notice, and lots of people started to take notice, and they were kind of following along with it. And it just kind of, you know, because they move very slowly, it starts to go down and down and down and down, and then it crashes at this golf course. And as a result of that, the depth charge that they all kept with them in case they needed to bomb Japanese submarines, one of them comes loose and rolls away. And Dibs. Luckily didn't explode.
Yeah.
But then, because it lost the weight from the depth charge, it went back up, because that's hot air balloons
work. That's the way science works.
And it kept limping along, and people are just going, what the fuck is going on? And they're following along, and then eventually it crashes in a neighborhood into someone's house.
Yeah, on someone's house. Have you guys ever been around a blimp or at all? I mean, everyone's seen the blimps in the sky, the Goodyear and stuff, but I don't know anyone that's been like, yeah, I worked on a blimp.
Yeah, blimps.
Yeah, like, it's such a weird thing.
I've had a
thing.
Balloon.
Yeah, I've lost balloons. I was always scared to fly a kite very high. Like, I was just like, it made me nervous. I knew it then as a child. I probably had some sort of weird stress when I'm like, oh God, oh no, oh shit. You know, so, oh well.
I feel like my basic understanding of blimps and how they travel and how they work did not come from history class, didn't come from, you know, knowing what happened to the Hindenburg. it exclusively came from the third Indiana Jones movie.
Right. That just feels right.
Yeah. But, you know, when there's things that you don't have that much exposure to, if they were in a movie as a kid, that is your full understanding. That's all probably the same franchise as the reason that we all believed that quicksand would eventually kill us.
Very true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I thought that would be a way bigger problem as an adult.
Yep.
Quicksand. But it is not.
Well, speaking of problems, we got problems because we got questions. How the hell does a blimp get that far off course without anyone calling it in? What did the witnesses report? Where's the crew? All those questions we're going to answer coming up next. We're not actually going to answer them. Don't get your hopes up. After the break on Hysteria 51.
You know, they knew we weren't going to answer.
We're going to take a stab at it.
You guys are going to try your best.
Hola, David. Me, I'm O'Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years. And there's over 25 different languages that you can learn. And people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient. And you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value. And you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use. And we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term. And it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com /hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Can't wait to hear all the letters you're going to get from the
Andy, you're piloting your L8. You need a call sign. You can't have Maverick. It's already taken. And you can't have Dusty Bottom because that's mine. What are you going with?
I'm probably going with Rooster McGraw.
Ted Mantooth here. I'm going to pilot this bastard into, well, just bounced off. Never mind.
And no, don't radio me as Rooster. It's Rooster McGraw, God damn it.
Rooster, I'm not answering. Base, over. Don't do the
it Rooster, you're losing altitude at an incredible speed. I think you got a hole.
Fuck off. Over.
It's Rooster McGraw.
John, are you still with us?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep. What?
John, you were talking about witnesses. Tell us a little bit more about witnesses. I'm going to talk to Rooster McGraw while you do so.
Yeah, well, there was many. We mentioned the float planes earlier. One of the float planes claimed to have seen the blimp over the Golden Gate Bridge. There was also a young lady by the name of Bunny Gillespie.
Fucking perfect 1940s name.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Bunny and her friends Ruth signs. And
that'll,
Midge.
That'll be my call sign. It'll be Bunny Gillespie.
Bunny Gillespie.
She said she was
Bunny Gillespie. Movies. Your ass is writing checks. Your ego's writing checks. Your ass can't cash.
Sorry, sir.
Sorry, doctor.
Sorry, doctor.
All right, so she said she was returning home from Sunday school, which is odd because it was a Tuesday.
Yeah. Actually,
I don't know that. I, you know, in all the research I did, I couldn't look at a fucking calendar. Anyway,
this is not the first time Bunny Gillespie's had to use that alibi
from Sunday school. And she saw the deflating blimp fly overhead. She noted the blimp was quickly losing altitude and in danger of becoming entangled in power lines. Historian Ken Gillespie recalls the event. And Art, why don't you take this one for us?
Sure, no problem. There was a swimmer, a man named Mr. Kapilvea.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Who was standing ready to go in the water when all of a sudden he saw this huge gray mass just coming out of the fog right at him. Remember, this thing is 47 feet wide and it wasn't too high off the water. And he watched it come in. It dragged its wheel along the sand at the water's edge, then hit a little sand knoll. It bounced up in the air and then moved a little bit of a canyon, and then hit rather heavily on the side of the canyon. This knocked off what turned out to be a depth charge.
But this thing is just losing explosives left and fucking right.
Now, that's the most exciting thing to ever happen in blimp history, right, besides the Hindenburg.
Right. I think that sand knoll is probably the one at the golf course, but I like to think it's a drop and I'm like fucking, you know, dollars at a strip club, just fucking bam, 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 bam.
I don't know. Last Crusade was probably more exciting than this. I'm going with Last Crusade after the Hindenburg.
Yeah. Another woman's house was nearly hit by the blimp. It dragged across her roof, and then it landed nearby in a street in Daly City. Now, back to historian King Gillespie, who actually lived in Daly City at the time. He said, it was almost impossible for the crew members not to have been seen by somebody, but nobody saw them. No one saw them jump, and there's no relics of them at all. It's a real puzzle.
Real barn burner.
Yeah. And then we got the crash. So Daly City officials were on the scene within minutes because this is the talk of the town, obviously.
There was actually an off-duty, I'm forgetting whether it was a policeman or a fireman that lived next door basically to where it crashed and was up trying to help what he thought would be the survivors within seconds. Literally ran out of his house and went to help. Couldn't find them, then started trying to dig through the actual blimp, just wondering where the hell they were, but just couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, yeah. They ended up discovering that the blimp's helium bag was leaking, and the two men on board were, surprise, surprise, missing.
Leaking helium bags is what I call Goforth's show intros.
That checks out to me. That feels honest.
That cuts deep.
That's funny, C-Bot. It really is. It probably won't be as funny when your main fuel line is leaking, though.
Whoa. Oh, jeez.
I think that's just flirting. The weird part is the search of the gondola or cabin, if you know that's the thing that hangs down that you hang out in, it showed that it was latched open, and it was highly unusual in flight for that to be open.
So they don't just leave the door open to grab a breeze.
Smoke if you got them.
Yeah, the safety bar was not in place. Also, there was this microphone that hooked to an external speaker. It was dangling off of the side of the gondola.
Outside of the gondola.
Yeah. The ignition switches and radios were still on. But remember, communications had stopped completely like 3 hours prior. Cody's hat and a briefcase containing top secret documents were still in place. Now, this is one of the things, if they do have to parachute out or jump out, you know, or anything like that, they're supposed to take that with them because reasons, you know, I don't know if you guys know
the top secret documents, you know. Classic. We all know the trope.
Yeah. You know, who hasn't had to jump out of something with a briefcase tied to them? Two life jackets were missing, but that's not a big deal because they were supposed to wear them the whole time.
Yeah, they were supposed to be wearing them while they were operating it. So people, like, in some of the accounts that you read, people point to that as a dun-dun-dun moment. You know, they must have known they were going down. They took the life. Well, no, that's like part of the gear that they would be wearing just the entire time they're floating around.
Yeah. You're going into the sky, please put on your flotation device is the way it goes. But no one saw them. There's no one on board. It finally crashes after hours. Boom! Ghost blimp. That's where you get it. Tell us about the investigation, John.
So, we've got a problem. We just crashed a large dirigible into a city block, and there was no one aboard. So we probably need to investigate, and the Navy does so.
We probably do.
Should probably check that out.
Probably make sure those barrels didn't explode on the golf course.
We'll take a look.
How many depth charges were on there? Oh, we don't count those things, sir.
Oh, gosh. Ooh, I think there might be one missing.
Depth charge, you're the one. You make bath time lots. Sorry, go ahead.
So, Brent, you mentioned the third member of the crew who was supposed to be there, but wouldn't because of the
Riley Hill. Yeah.
He's quoted as saying the ignition switch was still on. The radio was still on and working. Nobody had touched my fuel valves, which was not a euphemism in this case. They were set up just the way that I'd left them. We still had another 6 hours of fuel.
Yeah, so something went sideways pretty fast. Now, this blimp had been seen by several ships and planes
It was the two men in question.
Right. Yeah, 7 and 11 a.m. on the day of incident. So it wasn't like it was just out in the middle of fucking nowhere. People were seeing. Get this. Many were close enough to see the pilots inside. And at the time, everything seemed normal, then poof, gone. Spoiler alert. You need to update your Christmas cards because the men were never found. And then about a year later, August 17th of 43, both men were officially presumed dead. Why is this such a weird thing? People have held on to this. You know, I mean,
it's Ghost Blimp.
It's
you've got Ghost Rider. I mean, I think, you know, you got Ghost Blimp. It's just fun to put ghost with other things and
it just leaves a whole fucking question. What happened? Not being avid wartime blimp enthusiasts, I don't want to put words into your mouths, but what does your gut tell you, Andy, that happened in a situation like this, just off the top of the dome right now?
You know, your initial reaction to this is like, these guys fell out of that fucking blimp.
Aliens, I agree with you, going on.
Yep. He said aliens. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, you know, if they got a little, you know, turbulence or what happened. And there are lots of scenarios, I guess you could say, that people brought up. And we're going to talk about those after the break. But I don't know. I mean, Art, John, do you guys have a strong feeling one way or another before we get to them?
I think they, through a magical portal, actually got turned into the blimp. And, you know,
they fell through it and onto the giant pile of missing socks wherever they went to.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what I'm going to go with. And I think I'll be right.
This all seems plausible. And I'm going to wait until the end to give my final ruling.
Oh,
wow. Is that your final answer? All right. We're going to go to the break. When we come back, what the fuck did happen? I'm going to make that up. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51. God. Born?
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
John, I want to point out something to you while this fine music is playing. This is week number dose in a row. Old school.
I know the correct T for two. I'm loving it. I appreciate the fact that you brought it back, and I think we should keep it for a while.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Now that I know you like it, I don't know. I'm not gonna go one way or another.
Now I have a question for the three of you.
Oh.
Is it possible? Could it be that the chain Blimpy was actually responsible for the disappearance of these men?
I mean, I think as time goes by, we're going to find out that they were responsible for most of the incidents that shaped the 20th century. Right. But that's just my thoughts. I don't know. Art?
Yeah, I think I agree with you, John. I think you're onto something, and I think you should write a book about it and start to sell your idea across the country.
Or yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to hear this nonsense about the chain didn't exist when they disappeared, you know, all that bullshit.
None of that matters.
Because there's things like time travel and there are things like portals, and we all know that.
Well, and I mean, let's be honest. These guys were in a blimp. They were out looking for a sub. Like, give me a break. Yeah. This is clearly Blimpy is behind
this. What more do you need?
Grinder off the starboard bow. Grinder.
We got a hoagie on our six.
You go look up Blimpy's menu from like 1986. A depth charge. Yeah. Holy shit. What?
The Mexican Navy is sending up some tortas at us. I don't even know.
what combo do you want? I'll take the L8.
Yeah. That's just that the L8 is a vegetarian Blimpy because there's no meat inside of it. I don't know if you know that or not.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck happened? That's what we're left with. That's a great question. And the short answer, and I don't want to tell any tales out of school, is we don't know and no one knows. So there you go. That's the end of the show. We'll see you next week on this day. Now, lots of possible explanations have been brought up. We, you know, but none can be confirmed. One theory that is a little bit, they're all believable in one way or another, but it's just grasping at straws. One is the men spotted an enemy Japanese submarine to send and investigate it. They were taken prisoner, and they were probably put to death. That sucks. That's a terrible way.
I don't even understand that theory. So they saw a submarine, and they jumped off.
You guys, what are you guys doing in there?
Hey, get out of there. It's our ocean.
Is there any shenanigans going on down there?
Are you Japanese? This could easily be just one of those run-of-the-mill subs we see off the coast of California that's a sightseer. Now, this giant red circle inside of it gives me pause. I better go check and see what's going on.
No, don't pull me into the submarine!
I mean, bullets, then, like, my only weakness!
What's that?
We have got some rope here. You lower me down, I'll go knock, and we'll just see what's up.
I don't know if you know this or not, but in 1940s, if you're lowering yourself out of a dirigible, maritime and wartime law mandates that Yakety Sax is playing the entire time.
It's true. And oh, by the way, we mentioned earlier that the loudspeaker mic was outside of the gondola. Mm-hmm. It's because he took it with him to say, excuse me, uh-oh, can you let me in? I need to find out what's going on in there.
Now, this one just blows my skirt up, this next one. Another theory is that the two men were involved in a lover's triangle with an unknown woman or each other or a third man. This goes on that one murdered the other in a jealous rage and then fled the blimp when it reached land.
Wow.
I mean, do you guys, who I'm comes convinced. Up with that one?
I'm convinced.
No, I didn't see anyone come out and say, well, that was known because they were dating this person, that person. Doesn't that just feel like a grasp?
I think I know who came up with this theory, and it was Bunny Gillespie, for sure.
I tell you what, I've never had sex with either of them by themselves.
If the story just had been that they wanted to disappear off the face of the earth and, you know, as soon as it was over land, kind of jumped out or something, like, okay, But they had to act. They had to throw the extra details in there. There's too much detail now. Like it's a lover's quarrel. It's a threesome. It's a like okay. You didn't know all that. You didn't. Yeah. There's no way.
You know who took off whose pants when and who applied what where
right. And who got stuck in whose zipper.
Plus, everyone knows that in World War II, if it's a lover's quarrel or there's a three-way. Ben Affleck dies and then you just get the girl. That's the way it goes. And Cuba Gooding Jr. does a way better job at the whole thing than you. That's just, you know, that's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
The Navy does have its own theory. It's possible there was a mechanical malfunction on board. That seems way more believable to me than some of the others. Even for some reason, the submarine one, they say that they believe that one of the men maybe climbed out to fix the problem. Had some trouble. The second man went to aid him, and both fell to their death. That's why the cord off of the speakers ripped, the microphone, maybe that they grabbed at it. That's one of the reasons. This seems plausible to me, or more believable than just tomfoolery and shenanigans. I don't know.
Well, at the fucking least, there's evidence for this. The evidence is a photograph of a damaged fucking blimp. I mean, we know something went wrong, because if they had just jumped off willy-nilly and everything else was fine with the blimp, it wouldn't have started to deflate and crash. It would have just kept floating along. He said that one guy said there were 6 hours left.
It would have floated past a baseball game, and it would have been the sound of the bat hitting the ball.
And then everyone just stops and looks up, and the crowd goes quiet. Yeah. That's the way it goes. Everyone
would have gone.
Yeah.
Now, did you realize that this actual blimp was a Goodyear blimp?
Yeah, that's
I did.
This thing, everyone goes, what happened to it? They sold this blimp. After all this was done. It didn't just go on, and it became a Goodyear fucking blimp. So everyone's looking up.
It re-became. It was originally manufactured by Goodyear. Yeah. They sold it to the military, and the military sold it back to them.
Yeah.
And people say the government's so bad at business, they bought a blimp from Goodyear, then they sold it back after it crashed.
Yeah. That, my friend, is just good marketing.
I mean,
if
they got 30%, 40% back on that, I mean, what is that? Like, you know, there's going to be like
that's what Rooster McGraw would have done. Yeah.
I don't know. I just really think the thing that tickles my fancy is that, you know, they probably had some problems and tried to fix it and fell out. Real quick, Giorgio, what do you think?
If you look at all the pieces, it's the only conclusion that you can draw.
That makes sense right there. I'm glad that we don't, you know, we should go to you more often during the show.
Now, since you mentioned Giorgio, we would be remiss not to mention the most logical and probably likely theory that's rife with support and evidence all across the land, alien abduction.
Well, that just, you know, it makes sense. And one of these days we're going to open the door and they're just going to be there like, it's only been 25 minutes to us. Did the Yankees win yesterday?
Whatever did happen with that World War II?
I don't know. So, yeah, like you said, this whole thing only happened in a couple hours. No one knows the real story. Why is it that things like this are so endearing? Like, why are we still talking about this, Andy? I guess is a big question.
I think people love blimps, right? You can't
they
get
do?
Enough. Blimps are adorable. they're the like bunny rabbits of the sky.
You know, I tell you this. We have had this suggested 1,000 times.
Really?
And I think it's one of those topics that people have heard Ghost Blimp, don't really know what it's about, and go, that sounds cool, dude. Ghost Blimp.
Yeah.
And then you do it and they're like,
it's gotta be cool. It's got ghosts.
Well, and also let's be clear. Anything, like we were joking about it before, but truly. Anything with the word ghost behind it or in front of it, and that actually is inferring that something that was populated showed up unpopulated, is always popular. Well, ghost colony, that Roanoke, you know, people love that. Ship. There's been like 5 of them, probably more. That like ghost anything is just, and the movie. Ghost anything is just always interesting to people when there was a group of people that were expected to be there and they disappeared off the face of the earth. It's always a good story, or it's always at least interesting for people to learn more.
Well, and then it was taken out of Goodyear rotation because everyone who's ever been in it since then dies within 7 days. So that, I mean, on top of everything else, I couldn't really find anything to back that up, but just go with it. So
I don't know. I think I'd call it cursed blimp and not ghost
blimp. That's true.
Now, Brent, your jokes funny as they are aside, believe it or not, the L8 was repaired and went back into service.
Yeah, like
it
you said, throughout yeah.
the rest of the war. And well, Kyle's awful, awful Goodyear joke earlier was actually somewhat salient. The government sold the L8, as we said, back to Goodyear, and it actually became one of the famed Goodyear blimps that would float over sporting events and such. Its name after the war, I'm not making this up, America.
Wow.
And it was actually, it wasn't retired until 1982, almost 40 years later.
That's crazy.
Yeah, damn.
It's just crazy that they last that long. No shit that they last that long. I want to bring something to attention real quick. Last but not least, you can't do a story like this without going to the number one source for true details on the web.
That's right.
Reddit. Right. So this story sat unsolved for 70 years until 7/23 of 2013 would have made the front page of Reddit for the subreddit Today I Learned. It was the number one. When you go there every once in a while, they pick a story. And the number, the first comment that has
TIL for the kids out there
that had the most upvotes, a user syndicated writer gave us the definitive answer that sums it up. He said, I'm going to go on a limb here. This is pure speculation, but my guess is they fell out. And I think that really just sums up the entire fucking story there. Go. Leave it to Reddit to just really drive everything home.
It's the quality analysis you want.
I don't know. You know, I guess we've made our blimp quota for the decade on the show. I don't know.
I don't know. I think you gotta hit a couple blimps every year.
Yeah,
right? You gotta hit your blimp.
Yeah, otherwise, the blimp crowd gets a little uppity. Right. I don't know, John.
Deranged dirigible fanatics.
They get all puffed up.
What are your thoughts, John? What do you think about the story?
Yeah, I mean, jokes aside, I just think it was an unfortunate accident. I can't believe I'm saying this. I think the Navy's explanation makes the most sense.
Oh, you shill. You fucking shill. Yeah,
hey, don't forget to check your account. I deposited your shill check this week.
My shill check? Thank you. I mean, I think the thing.
Praise be to the devil. Praise be to the. Excuse me. Sorry. I apologize.
I get
station identification.
I get hate mail every time I mention Occam's razor, but I will mention it one more time.
Do you really?
When Andy just popped a blimp in his pants when he brought up Occam's razor.
I'm a coming, John.
Well, people just don't like logic. Like that,
people get angry with logic.
And yeah, I mean, Occam's razor. What's the one thing that we know? We know that the blimp was damaged. We know there was something wrong with it. It was losing air. Yep. So what is like? I mean, the most natural next step is somebody was trying to fix it.
A lover's triangle. I agree. I am with you 100% for once.
So the most it was damaged. The most natural next step is aliens.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, you can't rule it out, and that's what the really matters the most. You know, this is another one that they got on the flat earthers. We can't say it wasn't aliens because we don't know.
That's true.
That's true.
You know how that goes, John.
But ironically, you can say the Earth is not flat when you're at that altitude.
Well, that's true. I'm with you on this one. Do you guys have any other thought, or are you with John and his shillness?
You know, I guess the only thing I can think about now is like, what kind of a lover was Ernest Cody?
He was not a lover like Rooster McGraw. I'll tell you that much. And
I'm just going to have I'm going to take a whole bunch of those handfuls of melatonin tonight and try to dream of Bunny Gillespie or whatever the hell her name was, you know, in that sexy 1940s garb or whatever the hell it was. I don't know.
Actually, I've changed my mind. Now what I think happened was my original supposition, which was they were hanging by a rope, trying to knock on the door, had the loudspeaker out. Hello?
What's the word?
Is anyone in there? You're not Japanese, are you? All right.
They almost ended the war that fateful day if they only hadn't fallen out of the blimp.
Stop pushing. All right.
You can look later.
Well, that is our thoughts. And I'm sorry that we forced them down your throat. John, where can they force thoughts down our throat?
Hysteria Nation. It is our Facebook discussion group. It is where we talk about ghost blimps, ghost ships, ghost chessboards, everything ghost, and everything else in the weird, weird world.
Ghost chessboards.
Just go to Facebook.com and search Hysteria Nation. Join us.
I'm ready. I'm ready for more ghost chessboard talk. I didn't even know we talked about that in there.
I wanted to go to a ghost Chex Mix.
You know, I'm opening a ghost-themed restaurant, but it's mostly small plates and appetizers. Our most popular dish is a ghost cheese board. A little ghost charcuterie. I call it ghost cutery.
Everything on here is dead. That's right, though. While you're looking at Hysteria Nation on Facebook, also go to Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is a regular Facebook page. Patreon, Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can get up all night's extra episodes, Mad Blurry Hysterias. You can hear John rap. You can hear all sorts of nonsense. He literally rapped Regulators in high school at like Six Flags, you know, where you're like, you can make the video.
Right.
We got that on there.
Wow. Yeah.
Voicemail 773.
Join just for that.
669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. John, these are easy to forget links for our show. Where can they go if they forget any of this?
Oh, Hysteria51.com.
Or
Gofopedia.com.
There you go. Now, more importantly, if you want to go to a real show, you want to learn about that. Gentlemen and Andy, tell them about... No. Tell them where they can find your show, all your links, all your nudies, and your OnlyFans, and I don't know, your twaddles and whatever you kids are doing these days.
We do have twaddles. We are on ghostblimp.com. You can find us on ghostblimp.
Now I got to look if that's a fucking thing blimpies. Or not. I
might have to... You can find us at MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com. We're on the tweeters and we're on the Instagrams at Mr. Bunker Pod. And, we're hanging out on the Patreon as well.
You know,
we're doing the Patreon thing. It's patreon.com/MrBunkerPod.
And don't forget to check us out on YouTube. Just search for Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast.
If you guys are having fun, you're doing your page.
Brent,
yeah.
Can you do me a favor? Yeah. And, when they were talking, edit where they give their Patreon and just kind of speak over it and say /Hysteria51.
Oh, yeah. And then I'll cut this out so this won't be in the show. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Cut this part
I'll remember
out.
That. Here's a tip. Take this with you as you do what you will. Don't set up a fun little fake little haha for $30. You can sniff one of you guys on Patreon because I had a sniff John Goforth level for $30. And one dude who didn't like our show paid it and went apeshit trying to come and wanted John's address. And then I refunded it. He paid it again. We had to block him. So what I'm saying is, or do it, because that's a fun story.
I feel like, Brent, I feel like you're trying to creep me out at this point. This is like the third episode in a row you've brought it up.
Well, what I'm getting at is I may or may not have accidentally sent you your address and times the day when you're not awake.
Great.
What do we have to do to sniff you, John?
Well, just be within 16 to 18 feet.
It's never been a thing. It never will be a thing.
It was a thing. He might not have wanted it to be a thing, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a thing. It's no longer a thing. You say it wrong every time, John.
So I just have one question to end this. You said you're opening up a ghost restaurant. If, let's say, you're serving small plates, it's tapas, and you get some jamon. For instance, will the ghost pig bring it to you?
Oh, yes. The ghost pig will actually show you the part of its body from which the jamon was dissected.
Oh, wonderful.
This is like farm to table. It's more like grave to table, I guess.
It's the hottest thing.
Great. It's very hard to understand him because he still has the apple in his mouth when he's telling you all the...
he doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Only pig noises.
I mean, it was a Spanish pig.
What? I think he's talking backwards.
I don't know. Five stars. It's very trendy.
Yeah. I don't know if it has any Michelin numbers, but there's this. Nah, I don't even know where I'm going with that joke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We do ghost tires in the back, too. Very highly rated on Michelin.
Well, guys, thank you so much for classing this dumpster fire up. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you for coming all the way to my home.
Oh, thank you for having us. Yes,
speaking of ghosts, you guys are never leaving. So,
all right, we're moving in. Yeah. Hey, what's Brent doing with that axe?
Why is there a hole cut in the wall that's full of bones?
That's my secret.
Details.
Spot. Yeah. So, with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Art. Just kidding. I'm Andy.
And I've been Rooster McGraw.
And I've been Bunny Gillespie.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.